Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
All right, welcome into the Labatt Studio, and this is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. Hey, we appreciate you joining us, everyone. We're glad you found the Keystone Sports Network and the Keystone Kickoff Show. We got a full hour of Penn State football talk for you. That's our goal and mission each week. I'm Andy Shea, Bob Flounders, Penn State football beat writer for Penn Live and the Patriot News is also here. And Ross Tucker, media mogul. That's a new nickname, by the way. Ross the Boss is here as well. Gentlemen, we are keeping our distance. How are you guys hanging in there in light of the new world order that we live in now?
Day by day, man.
Day by day. Yeah. So we're going to have some news and notes. We're going to have a little bit of different take on the coronavirus and what it means to Penn State's football moving forward. We're going to talk about that in quarter number one. That's our news and notes. Quarter two, Tucker's tape. We're going to continue Ross's breakdown and analysis of the 2020 recruiting class. We got three more for you this week. Quarter number three, we've got your questions and his answers. Interesting questions. It's Ask Ross, presented by 409tailgateclub.com. And quarter four, we're getting down to the nitty-gritty, but a few more of Bob Flounders' 25 most important Penn State players in 2020. And that, ladies and gentlemen, will be our show for this week.
I feel like started this list in, like, I don't know, last year.
So if
we're getting there,
if we've done what 18 or 19
free a show, so like about eight shows,
so it's,
we're like seven in.
Yeah, so we've been at it a while. We've been at the 2020 recruiting class a while, which I'm you know what, I was not keen on the sort of the new system. Not that I don't like change, I'm not one of those old guys. It's like I don't like change, but I like this. I like the rating and then doing them later and ranking the class later. I didn't think I would like it, but I do like it, Ross.
Lots of 8.1s.
Yeah, well, not last time I was here a couple weeks ago, and not today. There's a wide disparity today, actually. A little bit of a tease.
So everything is, let's just say before we're going to talk about Penn State football and the coronavirus and some of the things we think and want to address going forward, right? Let's just say everything is unprecedented, right, in this that we're going through now. It's a very difficult time for everybody. So we're just going to talk a little football to get away from it. The first thing I want to talk about, the repercussions from the elimination of spring practice. There's no engagement on campus of any kind. Penn State's already shut down the university for the rest of the school year. For the foreseeable near future, there's not going to be any engagement of the football team. So I'd like to get each of you, your football-wise, your first thoughts on losing complete contact and football-wise, no spring practice, how you think that impacts it just on the surface initially?
I think it's very difficult. I mean, look, nobody really knows any of this stuff, right? I mean, nobody really knows. I mean, we don't even know if there's even going to be a college football season. And I'm not trying to, you know, disappoint people or upset people. Nobody's explained it to me how, like, all of a sudden, 2 months from now, everything's going to be fine. There's still going to be a lot of people that have it and a lot of people that could still get it. Like, how do you just have 110 guys in a locker room and lifting weights and stuff together? I don't know.
How do you get 100,000 people together to watch a game in the fall?
Right, right.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot that is unknown and scary right now. What we do know is there's not going to be spring football for anybody.
Yeah.
And it's going to have a major impact on recruiting. I actually think it probably hurts the kids more than the colleges, in the sense that if you're a top prospect that was planning on visiting a bunch of places this spring so you could make the decision before your senior year, you're not going to really be able to visit those places. So how do you narrow it down if you're, and I know some of these kids and they had a lot of visits planned and it's all over now. They can't go visit them. There's also the kids that historically Penn State, if you remember like last June, right, they offered Tyler Elsden and Fatorma Mulba after they went to these camps. Yeah. I don't know if they're having those camps. So there's the kids that they that have all the offers that now might not get a chance to pick what school they want to go to because they have to somehow live with not visiting these places. Then there's the kids that aren't going to really have the opportunity to get more offers. On the college end of it, you know, they're evaluating a lot of tape. They're reaching out to kids and making offers. They're communicating with them. You know, you always want to get them on your campus because there's not that many kids that are going to actually right. commit until they get on your campus. So it does, I think, to your point, Andy, exacerbate the fact that Penn State only has two commitments in this class. You compare it to like Ohio State,
yeah.
who has like 12 top 50 players number, or something yeah. like that. Like, it's crazy.
So I wanted to get your thoughts football-wise on no spring practice and no engagement between anybody on the team in terms of an organized football structure over the next 2 to 3 months. What do you think is the impact of that, Bob?
I think it's pretty significant. I think whenever football does resume, I think they're just going to have to make allowances for teams just can't hit the ground running and – you know, a standard, you know, protocol for camp
right.
and all that stuff. They're just going to have to, it's going to take, you know, it's like, you know, if they were allowed 15 practices, say that but Kirk hasn't had a chance to install his offense. They have right. all these new assistant coaches that want to kind of teach and it, you just can't say, okay, we're going to start up in 3 or 4 months and you got 15 practices and then we're right, going to play. Right. It's like that for everyone, but it feels a little bit like a, just in terms of a halt, like a strike year a little bit. And you just, how do you handle, I know it's different on the professional level,
correct.
But how do you handle a work stoppage and then a resumption when all that goes into getting young people ready to play football and educating them and all that stuff. I just don't know. I don't know if there is a set plan, but I just think college football as we know it's going to be different when it resumes for probably the next couple of years. And to Ross's point, recruiting is definitely – it's got to be crazy, especially when you have only a couple of kids in your class.
What is going on in the recruiting world? Like, I know you're connected to it, Ross. What is
actually... Yeah, they're just... all the colleges are evaluating more kids. They're looking at kids they hadn't yet. I can just tell you as an example. You know, I helped Nolan Rucci. This week, he got scholarship offers from Arizona State and Georgia. So it's like they're sitting there and they're like, who else should we try to get that maybe we could get in on? Especially since he's probably not going to be able to visit anywhere else
right.
for the next couple months. And they decided, you know, both Arizona State, which, by the way, I think that's the Adam Brenneman connection. Adam Brenneman's out there now.
Yeah, that
and,
yes, he is.
And Georgia said, let's go after Nolan Rucci from Lancaster. So that's an example there. So they're evaluating, and there's a lot of communication. Social media, text, phones. I mean, that's all they can do. There's no spring ball. They can't even watch their own players work out. All they really can do is work out. Is recruit. Now, this is interesting. No spring ball makes it more unlikely that a true freshman is going to be able to really contribute, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think if you would make an argument, you could make an argument that because Penn State's roster coming back is so good,
so deep,
that maybe compared to some of these other schools, comparatively, Penn State benefits because they got a lot of guys coming back that have played a lot of football. They're not really counting on very many true freshmen, maybe at wide receiver, maybe. And so that hurts them there. But I think their competition, you know, for a playoff spot, which is probably realistically just Ohio State, right? Like, there's not going to be two teams from the Big Ten. So it's probably mainly Ohio State. But even Ohio State, like, they lost a bunch, and their true freshmen that are expected to play, like a Julian Fleming, like, he's not going to have spring ball. Who knows when even training camp will start,
right?
Or what the season is. So I think on some level, you can make an argument. Maybe this is me trying to, you know, have rose-colored glasses, but maybe you can make an argument that for an experienced, talented, returning roster like Penn State has, maybe on some level this gives them a little bit of an advantage compared to others.
Keystone Kickoff Show is brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. We're your source for Penn State football news and analysis 52 weeks a year. That's why we're sitting here. We're in quarter number one. We're talking about Penn State and the, you know, the unprecedented unknown that everything is dealing with. Coaching staff, I wanted to get, they're such creatures of habit, right? We know that. They're about their habits, their schedules, their process, their routines. Yeah. They are, and Penn State for this upcoming season or the 2020 season, however that may look, they've got a lot of new faces in place for this year. What do you guys think is, other than recruiting, is what are coaching staffs doing? They're, the players aren't around, they're not working out, they're,
a lot of the coaches, I've talked to some coaches this
yeah,
week.
That's
what they're not even in the office.
Right. As they should
they're
be.
They're home. They're working from home. And for the first time ever, they're actually responding to emails and text messages. You know,
yeah.
They're usually so busy that they don't have time to respond that often. But they're like emptying out their inbox email. They're checking out other kids in their recruiting area. I think that there is probably different drills they could look at or schematic thing, but it really is primarily recruiting. And they're probably, I would picture James Franklin probably already has like five different itineraries set up for when the guys come back based on, is it June 1? Is it Aug 1? Like what are we going to do? What's it going to look like at that point?
Do you think, whenever, so one thing in mind, if you have a fall camp of some kind or a mid-August camp, to me that feels like there's something good's happened, right? Something has turned that is good if you're at that. The NCAA is so rigid. Do you think they go back and say, look, we got to, if they come back July 15th, we got to give them some spring practices back? Or what do you think the NCAA's responsibility is in a nutshell?
I don't think they give them spring practices July 15th. I think you're allowed to open training camp. I mean, NFL is not going to have anything until training camp.
Right.
And by the way, that's the way it used to be.
Yeah.
Right. Like, let's not act like it's the end of the world as we know it. Probably the wrong time to use that phrase.
Yeah. REM song.
But my point is, let's not act like it's that big a deal if they miss spring ball. There didn't used to be spring ball. And in the NFL, guys used to show up for training camp after one mini camp. Maybe.
All right, that's it for quarter number one from the Labatt Studio. Stick around. Tucker's Tape is next.
The sports world has been put on hold, including the blue-white spring game. This is as disappointing at GoPSURV.com as it is to all of you. If you made GoPSURV reservations for the spring game, contact Mark at 800-519-8467. And for those who've entered the free RV raffle through the KSN app, GoPSURV has announced that they will offer an RV for their first regular season game. If you've already entered, your entry will go towards that raffle. We look forward to seeing you in the fall.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.